747-5877 is the number to call if you have a question for either of the two candidates for Sitka School Board. Again, that number 747-5877. Or join us on Facebook, facebook.com/Raven Radio. Let's talk about achievement, student achievement. Test results in Alaska and in Sitka have shown achievement gaps among different groups of students. We see it sometimes in Alaska Native students. We see it sometimes in students who live in low-income households. Cass Pook, beginning with you, how should Sitka schools address achievement gaps, and especially those groups of students who are having trouble academically?
I brought it up the other night in my interview, and I like to call it courageous conversations. Nobody likes to talk about failure, but I think some of our work sessions that we have to schedule this year, we're going to have to schedule some work sessions on having those conversations with the community. I've put myself out on the plate a little bit with my own experience in academic achievement and where I felt the school failed me. But at that time, we never really talked publicly and had those conversations. And I think the time is now to have those conversations until we hear from students that are failing in school and parents and why they can't help their kids at home. That's where we're going to get the answers to how can we create safety nets to support your child to help them to achieve and not wait until the 11th hour before we're saying, oh my gosh, your kid's failing and it's a month away from graduation. We need to have our eyes wide open and watch for those red flags.
Data can be kind of reactive, I guess. Mm-hmm. Jennifer, same question to you. Addressing achievement gaps, especially when we can target them to particular areas or particular groups of students, how does the Sitka schools do that?
Well, I guess playing off of what Cass said, I mean, talking about difficult conversations, parent involvement is so important to the success of our students, and I can't stress this enough. And I know how difficult it can be. I'm a single mother and I work, and it can be challenging sometimes to be able to be all that you need to be for your kids, but it has to be a priority no matter how hard it is. And I think as far as solutions, I'm sure that there's a lot, and I think the conversations will probably bring it more. I think one important thing to look at, though, is that statistics have shown that when a child is behind academically, if it's not remediated in the first 3 years of their education, chances are that gap will never be fully bridged. And so that's just, I guess, another reason that, especially in the demographics that are at risk, that they need to be have some sort of an introduction to, you know, pre-K education. So
staying with you for the next question then, Jennifer, do you, early childhood education, for example, how important is that to you? Is that a priority? Is that something you're paying attention to? It sounds like you're suggesting that, you know, that's the place to start with this.
It needs to be. If that doesn't address the kids that are struggling now, and that's going to have to be another conversation. But yes, if we want our children to get a good start, we need to make sure that they have that groundwork laid.
Yeah. Cass, has the board looked at early childhood education? I know it. I hear it come up sometimes at meetings. What kind of movement is happening there?
We talk about it every year at the annual school board conference. It's not just the Sitka School District, but it's a concerned state in the state of Alaska. In fact, this year we have a resolution on early child development and being able to opt into early child development without being identified as a child on an IEP. So I know that board members across the state of Alaska, if the legislature would support us in that and fund us for it, every school in the state of Alaska would start school at age three for early child development.
I know Alaska is one of the states where kindergarten, for example, is not mandatory, and early childhood education covers such a wide range of topics. Are we talking about pre-K? Are we talking about kindergarten? Are we talking about early L? So there's a lot of, it seems like there's a lot there are complicated aspects here, but also kind of on the flip side of that coin, there are plenty of places to start, it sounds like. 747-5877 if you have questions or comments for the two candidates for Sitka School Board. You can also join us on Facebook, facebook.com/Raven Radio, or email us a question, news@kcaw.org. We have about 25 minutes left here. You're listening to KCAW Sitka, time now 7:01. And I want to talk a little bit about money for the schools. School districts in Alaska, just for the benefit of everybody here, so we're all on the same page at home and here in the studio. School districts in Alaska get a certain amount of money for each student they have. It's called the base student allocation. You'll hear that abbreviated as BSA. This year, a bill died in the legislature that would have raised the BSA every year for the next three. Cass, I think it's your turn to start on this one, or does it matter at this point, or we're just talking? It's all good. Cass, let's start with you on this one. And how did you feel about that plan, that bill to increase the student funding every year for the next three? And I guess more generally, do you feel the state adequately funds its school districts?
No, I don't think the state adequately funds the schools. And we're getting less money from the city, and that's just because revenues are low, and it's the city is in a hard place as well. But in order to keep everything that we offer in school, extracurricular activities, vocational classes that have been proven to keep kids in school that would drop out if we didn't have those supports there. We really do need the funding.
Was that the way to do it? The 3 years out, guaranteeing an increase every year for the next three. I mean, was that something you were for or supportive of, or was it kind of? I mean, is it a larger puzzle than that? I wonder.
I was supportive of it. I would say that Tom and Lon are better, probably better ones to ask that question, because they understand that whole, they go and lobby.
Yeah.
And I just support and trust their judgment. And but it wasn't just from them. It was what the president of the AASB, Carl Rose, presents to us at the annual conference. And so it was something that all of the board members in the state of Alaska were in support of.
Yeah. Jennifer Robinson, the BSA, 3 years out, funding it 3 years out, is that a good plan in your opinion? And in general, how do you feel about state funding towards schools?
Education is vital to the overall economic health of our community, our state, our nation, and I think it needs to be a top priority. I don't know if that particular plan was the ultimate solution, but it does need to be a priority, however we manage to get that funding.
All right. If you have a question or comment, we want to give you the number one more time, 747-5877. We're in the studio live right now with two candidates for Sitka School Board, Cass Pook and Jennifer Robinson. Cass has been on the board since 2002, is running for re-election this year. Her name will be printed on the ballot. Jennifer's will not. You'll have to write it in if you want to vote for her and fill in the oval. Here in Alaska, you have to fill in the oval and write the name on the blank. Jennifer Robinson, a write-in candidate for Sitka Schools. If you have a question, 747-5877. news@kcaw.org is the email, or online at facebook.com/Raven Radio. Lots of ways to ask your question. We've talked a little bit tonight, both of you, about achievement gaps and math and technology. I want to kind of zoom out and ask you about what's on your radar scope. You know, what are the issues in the district that informed your decision to run for school board? What are you most concerned about? And Jennifer, let's begin with you. What are you paying attention to right now when it comes to schools?
You know, I think we have really fantastic schools here in Sitka. I think we do an excellent job very impressed with our teachers, with our administration. I think, like any school, there's going to be different issues and struggles that we need to look at. But I've been very, very pleased overall with the education that my children get here. So I don't know that I'm, well, I know I'm not getting into this because I'm on a mission or because I have some agenda to change something. I just want to see our children continue to get the best education that we can give them.
Cass, what are the important issues to you, and what's behind your run for school for re-election? Why do this again?
What's on my radar for this year is the gap with success for the low-income and Alaska Native achievement.
That's a big one for you.
That is huge for me. But I think a lot of that, we're really in a good place as far as having the data that we do. Someone that can do the data and present it well. And it's very clear where our weaknesses are. And that's very good for the board to track that.
You talked a little bit about what you call creative or courageous conversations, the need to kind of head-on address things we might not want to talk about. How do you begin that conversation? I mean, what's the way to do that? Is it getting all the players in a room? Is it kind of creating a safe environment? I mean, how do you start a conversation that might be difficult for a lot of people to have?
You just jump in and do it. That has been part of my survival. And I say survival because I am Alaska Native. And my mother taught me to stand up tall and be proud of who you are and to have those courageous conversations. And I believe that by putting myself out there, when I talked the other night during the interview, I put some things out there about myself that I'm uncomfortable with. But in order for other parents that are Alaska Native and that come from low-income homes, in order for them to be able to talk about their own experience, then I, as a role model, have to put myself out there first. And so you probably will at board meetings, as these discussions come up, I'll enlighten the public more about my experiences. And it's not to offend anybody. And that's part of our culture. It's not to offend anybody. It's to have that conversation because it's a need to help our kids succeed.
Jennifer, how do you approach a difficult conversation? What's your approach? What's your instinct when you have to have that talk about things that are not comfortable to talk about?
Well, I do want to encourage people to feel comfortable talking to me about things. I will listen, and I know that there are going to be difficult conversations. I'm fully expecting that as I sit here answering questions. So I think what I'm most excited about is the school board's recent decision to have work sessions once a month in addition to the regular school board meetings. I think that, especially after just sitting through one last night, I can tell that's going to be very, very beneficial. So
last night's was on the math audit?
It was, yes.
What did you, anything surprise you or anything stand out when you think about last night and the experience of being there in the room with that issue and those people?
It was a really good look at the hard decisions that are coming up.
All right. The school board spends a fair amount of its time talking about its budget. And Lon Garrison, the school board president, has said publicly many times that the board spends a lot of time, almost too much time in his regard, or in his opinion, talking about that. Cass Pook, let's begin with you. Do you agree with that? Is there a way to get the board focused on other issues? Are these work sessions that way?
I guess I'm got kind of lost.
Yeah, well, okay, so a fair amount, I mean, most of the spring is spent crafting the school board's, or the mm-hmm. school district's budget. And I think sometimes it feels to school board members like they haven't talked about anything else in a really long time. So when you think about all of these issues that the school board wants to address, what's the best way to do that when you have to pay attention to the budget? And that is such a time consuming thing. How do you get at those other things that are no less important, but often get kind of pushed to the side?
Well, I think that's what brought us to the idea of having the work sessions. It's because we felt like the meetings were focused too much on policy and budget items, and we needed to have more conversations with the community and what's important to the community. I'm hoping that people will submit their ideas as far as what they would like to talk about at work sessions. I think it's more personable, and I think that's the way we've been able to have such good budget sessions in the springtime, is we have a lot of involvement from the community, and that's what helps us make a lot of our decisions.
Jennifer, same kind of idea to you. School board spends a lot of time talking about the budget. What are some good strategies for getting at those other issues that are certainly no less important?
I don't really know how to add anything more to what Cass just said. I think that having those extra meetings that are just for talking about issues are going to be huge. I think that's going to make a really big difference.
All right. I have one more topic on my list, and then we'll see if anybody else has anything out there in the public. So again, the number to call, 747-5877, with questions for either or both of the school board candidates here tonight. 747-5877. My question is about activities, and there are a lot of activities that students participate in, especially at the high school level. A lot of travel involved in that, in those activities, and that means a lot of time out of school. Jennifer, let's begin with you. Forgetting for a moment the financial aspect of the activities, which is another conversation the district is having, does something need to be done to address absenteeism among students who travel to sporting events and other activities?
Well, this is a difficult question for me, because I really don't know what the answer is. My son is in wrestling, and he has been since fifth grade. And right now, it's an after-school activity, and he only travels once for the entire season because he's in eighth grade. So last year was actually his first time to travel. But next year, he's going to be at Sitka High, and that's going to change. And as I mentioned, I am a single mother, and I know you said not to look at the money aspect of it, but honestly, I'm not really sure how I'm going to come up with the money for him to be able to participate. And I worry about him spending that much time away from school and how it might affect both his grades and the quality of his education. On the flip side, it's been proven that kids who are involved in these extracurricular activities do better in school, and I really like knowing that he has something positive to focus his extra time and energy on. So I'm really torn as a parent, and so I don't really know how to fix them being away so much, and I certainly don't know how to fix the money part of it. That's going to have to be a whole another conversation, as you mentioned. But I do know that more and more of the teachers are putting work online for our students and for parents, which is fantastic to access. And I think that's a great step in the right direction. If there's a way that we can use technology for our students to access, I guess, their class while they're gone. If there's a way that students can put actual lectures online for them to be able to watch while they're away, maybe that's something worth looking at. But then I don't know what the practicality is of adding more work to our teachers either. And that does take more time for them to be able to do that. So, but those are just, I guess, some thoughts in the back of my mind when it comes to that.
Thanks. Cass Pook, is absenteeism especially something the district needs to address when it comes to student activities?
When you asked that question, I was thinking about technology. And with our technology going the direction that it is, how do you define a child being absent from class when they have technology? I'd like to have a work session talking about that. I think your younger teachers might view it differently than someone who is old school like me, who likes assignments turned in that are paper. something they can get handed to them versus an assignment being handed in electronically. Jennifer brought up a good point as far as a student being able to hear a lecture online. It was probably about 5 years ago when we had a presentation at the annual conference that we go to every year in Anchorage. And it was on the University of Michigan, who was the first college that was giving their kids, their students, laptops as freshmen. And when the students were away on doing sports, they would listen to a lecture. And so when they did go to class, they spent time asking questions rather than listening to a lecture. And the beauty of that was being able to listen to it once or three times if you needed to before you got the content of it, and going into your class to ask questions. So I guess I would look at it differently now that we have started to dive into technology, is how do you define being absent when you have your technology with you?
I feel like one of the things we've we've kind of touched upon tonight is that no issue is an island, right? Technology connects to money, connects to curriculum, connects to achievement, and all of those things kind of work in concert. Let's leave the conversation there for the evening. And before we go, what I'd like each of you to do is just give your one last pitch. Why should Sitkins vote for you? And since we started with Cass on the introductions, let's start with Jennifer on the closing. Why should somebody write your name down on their ballot on October 2nd? Jennifer Robinson.
I have a vested interest in Sitka's education with two kids in the school system. And I am very passionate about education. I think that there's great value in it. And I hope that I, for one, never stop learning. And I think that if we can give our children that same passion for learning and for growing and becoming more, that's pretty neat. And so if I can be a part of that, I'm going to blank right at the very end of this interview. I think you should vote for me because I'm going to work really hard to do a great job for our students' education.
Jennifer Robinson, thank you very much. Cass Pook, why should somebody vote for you on October 2nd?
Because I believe that I am a strong advocate for students and education. And I grew up in Sitka and understand a lot of the history of the schools and the progress that we've made. And hopefully because you trust my advocacy, and that's what I would say.
All right. Cass Pook, Jennifer Robinson, candidates for Sitka School Board. I want to thank you both for being here tonight. And thanks to those of you who emailed in questions and gave us a call tonight and with the Assembly and Mayoral forums we aired earlier this week. The audio from tonight's forum is going up on our website, and all of our election coverage is there. Previous forums, profiles of the candidates, so much more. There'll be more coming between now and October 2nd, and again between October 2nd and the general election for statewide and national offices in November. The municipal election, the election that these two folks are on the ballot for, is October 2nd. Sometime in mid-October, we're going to have forums for the state legislative races. Listen for details on that as well. Thanks tonight to Robert Woolsey for answering calls, relaying emails, and we have a little classical music to take us up to 8 o'clock, and then Meathead's mixtape is on after the headlines at the top of the hour. I'm Ed Ronco. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. Good night.